If you will now, take your Bibles. Let's turn them and open them and turn them to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 1 today and look at Jesus' claim that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's start in verse 1 of our text this morning. It says this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's pray and thank God for his word and pray that he anoints and blesses this time. Lord Jesus, God, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be a part of your church, Lord, to be a part of your fellowship, and Lord, to come and be a part of your word, Lord, that touches hearts, that changes hearts, that convicts us of all truth. God, I pray for your word to do the work, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit today, Lord, in the living and active word of God, that you will pierce us and Lord, convict us and create new in us, Lord. Lord, offer your glory and for our good. We love you and pray, Lord, that you will bless this time. It's for the glory of Lord Jesus. We pray, trust, and believe these things. And God's church said this morning, amen. Amen. When I was 8 years old, I went to spend the night at my best friend Sam's house. It was for his birthday. He was turning 9, and we were going to go out and have a good time together with his family. And so we went out to eat at this little restaurant called Bobby Valentine's. He was the manager at the time of the Texas Rangers. And we went out to eat at his restaurant, then went to attend a Texas Rangers baseball game at the old Arlington Stadium before they tore that down and built the new ballpark. And so we had a great day. His name was on the Jumbotron for his birthday. Went to get ice cream after the game. And then we went back to his house to have a slumber party. Now, it was the best day. We had so much fun, got to do some of our favorite things and got to have all kinds of treats and all kinds of good stuff happen. But the fun stopped when it was time to go to bed. Because when I was 8 years old, at bedtime, I only wanted one thing, mama. And so I got homesick when it was bedtime. And I was crying and desperate for my mama, and I could not stay at my best friend's house anymore. It didn't matter how much fun I was having. Didn't matter how much I enjoyed his company. Didn't matter how much I loved his family or how much fun we were having for his birthday. I just wanted to go home. So I did what any logical 8-year-old does, is I call my mama and ask her to come get me. Now here's what you need to know, church. Literally, his house was across the alley from my house. And so at 10 o'clock, when I made the long journey home, his parents opened the garage door, my parents opened the garage door, and I walked home to my mama. And she tucked me in that night, and I was safe and secure. I'm convinced that we're all a little homesick. I'm convinced that God has put, as Ecclesiastes tells us, God has put eternity in the hearts of men, and we all long and desire something greater than this world, something greater than what this world could offer. C.S. Lewis would make this argument in his book, Mere Christianity, a classic book for us, and it says this, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, then the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." He's saying there's nothing in this world can satisfy if money, if power, if a job, if influence, if sex, no matter what it could be, if nothing in this world can fulfill the desires of my heart, then the only logical reason is that I was made for something greater than these things. Church, we were made for more than this world. Your life was meant to be fulfilled with more than the things of this world. You've been created, you've been designed with eternity set in your hearts. And the only logical explanation is that you were made for another home. You were made for glory. You were made to belong to Jesus Christ and to dwell with him for eternity. So many people settle for so much more than that. So many people settle for this world and they end in destruction. They end in death. But Jesus is called to give us life, and Jesus addresses this desire for a home in John chapter 14. So he's addressing these disciples saying, "Fear not, don't worry, believe in me and keep on believing in God." So he's addressing their hearts, because here's the deal. These disciples have given up everything to follow Jesus. You realize that. In that day, you did what your father did. You inherited the family business. So if your dad was a carpenter, you took over the family business, became a carpenter. If your dad was a fisherman, you took over the family business, became a fisherman. So when these disciples left their nets and they left their jobs, they left families. They left jobs. They left legacies. They left everything to follow Jesus. And they put it all on the line. All the chips were in the table. They were all in. And they're following Jesus. And so here's what he's doing here in John chapter 14. Because in John 13, he tells them, hey, guess what? I'm not going to be here much longer. Hey, I'm preparing y'all. I'm about to leave. You're going to look for me, but you're not going to find me because I'm going to be gone. And so the disciples are going to, you know, rationally kind of freak out a little bit. Like, what are you talking about? You're going to leave. You're going to abandon us here? Like, we've put everything on you, Jesus. I've left my family. My family business, my home, everything. I've dropped it and followed you. What do you mean you're going to leave? What do you mean that we're going to be kind of lost here, confused? Everything for these disciples at this point is unknown. No future, no kind of thing to bank on. And so Jesus ministers to their hearts. Wrestling, doubts, fears, anxieties, Jesus addresses them. And it's so good because it applies to the same things that we struggle with today. Let's go to verse 1. It tells us this. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. In the middle of their doubts, Jesus doesn't rebuke. He offers compassion. He offers understanding. He offers love. He begins to minister to them and say, I know you're struggling, but listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't doubt, because what's the solution? Believe in God. Believe also in me. He said, I know you're struggling. I know you have some doubts, but believe and keep on believing. The tenses are active. It says, keep on believing in me and keep on believing in God. We have a plan. We have a hope. We have a future. You're not following me in vain. Keep on trusting. And he goes further on in verse 2. In my Father's house, this is why, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't true, if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus goes on, and you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? I love Thomas. He kind of is a voice for a lot of us, right? He's like, Jesus, you're saying you're going to leave, but listen, man, I have no idea where you're going. So Jesus is in the middle of, you know where I'm going. And Thomas is like, yeah, actually, Jesus, hold on. We don't. You know, I'm lost here. You speak in parables. You know, everything kind of sounds kind of crazy to me. I have no idea where you're going. And so here's what Thomas is really saying. Jesus, we put everything on the line. Are you going to take us home? You said you're going to take us home. We don't know the way. Are you going to get us there? How does he respond in verse 6? Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you've got a wrestling heart today, if you've got a doubtful heart today, if you've got an anxious heart today, Jesus has a word for you here. That he's got a home and he can get us there. And that following Jesus, obeying his word, doing his will is not in vain. It's not all for nothing. You may be like, I don't see any results here. Yeah, because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities of darkness and spiritual forces. Our battle is not of this world. It's of a greater thing. And so we have to trust and keep on believing. God has a plan. God has a hope. And God has a future. So keep on believing. Keep on trusting and keep on seeking, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How can we do that today? How can we know that following Jesus is not in vain? Three things, and it's going to be very simple because I'm going to follow the text here. Number one, believe that Jesus is the way. Believe that Jesus is the way. Again, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way. Jesus is the only Savior that takes us from the slavery of sin and into the promise of eternal life. The only Savior. Jesus is exclusive. He is the only way. And so in the midst of a culture of pluralism or many ways or many gods or many opportunities for us to get there, Jesus says, I am the way. Acts 4:12 would tell us very, very clearly, very simply this great truth that, and there is salvation in no one else, For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In a world that tries to climb the mountain and thinks there's many different paths, God came down from the mountain and showed us the way. Amen. Jesus is the way. He is the only way. And let me tell you, understand that great gap, the way we've been lost is because of your sin. It is your sin, church. I know it's not a popular thing to preach about or tell you about, but your sin is what has caused you to be separated from God. Your sin has caused your lostness. God did not create you lost. God did not cause you to be lost. It is your sin that has caused the gap. It is your sin that has caused you to be lost. It is your sin that has separated you from the Father. Your sin, your rebellious heart, your iniquity. And so when Jesus claims to be the way, Jesus claims to be the way home. I am the way home. I am the way to the Father. I am the way to eternal life. How? Because Jesus went to the cross. He was tortured, brutalized, murdered. He hung, and he died upon a tree by becoming our substitutionary Savior. You know what that means? He took your place because he absorbed all of God's wrath on the cross. God had wrath towards sin. God had to punish sin. He is a righteous God. And Jesus took our place. He died for our sin. He died on the cross. His blood was shed for us to have life instead of death. Instead of judgment, to be under his righteousness, to be justified. And so Jesus becomes our Savior. He is the way. He is the only one who made the way. He was the only one who went to the cross because he was the only one that was able to be the substitutionary Savior, to be the sacrificial lamb. And so Jesus becomes the bridge that makes the way home, that makes the way possible. Verse 2 isn't about a gold and glittery mansion. Okay, when we think about him going to prepare a place for us, he's not going to just prepare a gold and glittery mansion. No, it's about Jesus promising and preparing a place for us in glory so that we can be in the presence of God. And so as Jesus goes to prepare, he goes to the cross first to make the way possible. The cross is our homecoming. The cross makes the way possible. Jesus is the way. If you're looking for any other way to get to heaven, maybe you're going to earn it. It's not going to work. Maybe something else. It's not going to work. Jesus is the way. Second thing he says, and we got to believe this, truth is that believe Jesus is the truth. Not only do we believe and know for sure that Jesus is the way, we also know and believe Jesus is the truth. Jesus says again, verse 6, I am the way and I am the truth. Jesus is the way to God because Jesus is the truth of God. Jesus is the truth of God. He embodies the absolute revelation of God. Paul would write this to the church in Colossae. He would say, do you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And so Jesus is the truth of God. Well, what does that tell us? Well, as the truth of God, Jesus reveals the perfect and the complete nature of God towards us. He reveals the perfect and complete nature and the character of God towards us. And so in Christ, we find a very shocking, a very outrageous, a very unexplainable type of mercy and grace. We see that with every person Jesus ministers to. The woman at the well, right? Or the woman caught in adultery. Or his disciples on numerous occasions. Well, we got the people, the tax collectors, the prostitutes that he goes to the house and dines with. We got Matthew when he sets time aside, or Zacchaeus when he calls him down. Jesus shows the love and the mercy and the grace of God personified in his ministry, personified in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the truth. So what does that tell us about God? Well, what we learn about God and Jesus, what we learn about God and Jesus far surpasses the way we think that God thinks about us. What we learn about God and Jesus far surpasses what we think God thinks about us. Because we think maybe God's, you know, if we don't obey him, he's going to punish us, or maybe if we don't do this or that, that if we make a deal. No, here's the deal. God desires to save. That's the truth of the gospel. Jesus is the truth of God because Jesus is the gospel. And in Christ, because of Jesus, we find a God who desires to love and a God who desires to save. To save sinners. If you go read this in 2 Peter 3:9, very, very clear. I'll throw that verse up there for you. But 2 Peter 3:9 makes it abundantly clear this. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. In Jesus, we find a God who desires to love and a God who desires to save. God did not create hell for man. God created hell for Satan and his angels. He created heaven for us. God desires to save. So this is the truth of God in Jesus. This is the truth of the gospel. This is the truth of the cross, that we have a God who wants to save, and we have a God who made the way possible. The truth is that the way is found in the truth of Jesus. The way is found in the truth of Jesus. So we need to believe that Jesus is the way. We need to believe that Jesus is the truth. And finally, we need to believe that Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, these are all absolute truths. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not a truth or a life. It's the truth, the life. Understand that very, very, very simple concept there. And the deliverance that Jesus is going to bring is not political. The deliverance that Jesus is going to bring is not social. The deliverance that Jesus brings is spiritual and is physical. As Christians, we don't just go, okay, I'm saved, now I'm just going to wait for heaven. That's cool, great, I get to wait around. No, if God only wanted to save you into heaven, he would take you up right now, right? He would have no use for you here anymore. If that was his only goal, was to get you into heaven, then you'd already be gone. He'd already take you. Why did he leave us here then? Because we are the carriers of this life. We are the carriers of this hope. We are the carriers of this gospel. And so he has filled us, and he wants to use us by his presence and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We get to tell people there is a way home. There is a truth to know. And there is a life greater than this one that you can't have here. There is a life. It's all in Christ. It's this way. It's in this person. It's in the name of Jesus. That's the great hope that we have as the church. That's the great hope we're called to share. In a world lost, there's a way. In a world looking for some kind of truth, there is a truth. In the world looking for more than this life, there is a life. It's all in Christ. It's all in Christ, and we get to tell people this great truth of Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful opportunity that we have as a church? That we get to be the carriers of that hope? Understand, again, that God is not trying to take anything from you, ever. God is not trying to make you submit begrudgingly or in a way that is resentful. He's trying to lead you into life as he designed it to be. God has designed life in his boundaries, and that creates a life that is more than this world could offer. That's why he says in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundantly, but it's on his terms. A lot of people think, I want my life on my terms, or my truth on my terms, or my way on my terms. That's not the way the gospel works. Jesus has created life, and he leads us into that life as he designed it to be. And so understand here, he's not trying to take anything from you. He's trying to give you the abundant life he promised. But it's in his boundaries. See, here's the great truth. God's boundaries do not leave to God's burdens. God's boundaries leads us to God's blessings. It's when you step out of his boundaries that you feel the burdens. It's when you step out of his boundaries that you find the weight of the world and the weight of your sin. No, God's boundaries leads us into his blessings. His way and his truth leads into life. There are two different men that I know, two different guys that I know over the last 10 years in different areas of my life and different seasons of my life. And both of these guys have struggled with their sexuality. Both of these guys have struggled with same-sex attraction. Now, I know culturally we want to project that as kind of the scarlet letter of sin, but it's not any less normal than adultery. It's not any less normal than pornography. It's not any less normal. It's just a struggle that they face. So understand that I'm a firm believer in the gospel that we don't always choose our struggle. We always choose our response. We're going to struggle with all kinds of things. We're going to struggle with all kinds of different ways, and the enemy is going to see our weakness and expose it, and he's going to drive and attack it. So whether it's a sexual thing or whether it's something else, Satan's going to attack. And so we have these two guys that I know that have this struggle. And they struggle very hard. And I'm convinced, again, the enemy is going to lie, but we always choose our response. Always. Both of these guys are outspoken followers of Jesus. Both of these guys have been in leadership and ministry. Both have made a difference for the kingdom of God, but only one. Only one has allowed the truth of Jesus to lead them in the way of life. So I'm going to share with you, because they've put this publicly out there. The last few weeks have been really, you know, kind of different for our nation, especially if you're on social media. This past Wednesday was National Coming Out Day. And so it's kind of a way for people to celebrate their coming out, their decision to declare that I'm attracted to this sex, or I'm gay, or whatever it may be. This is their way. But again, we can love these people and share with them the truth, because here's what's going on. This guy, Irvin, a good friend of mine, he had this to say about it. I've never hidden the fact that I'm attracted to guys, but I've resisted the attraction for the reasons that I've held to be true at the time. My perspective has changed, although God's hasn't. I'm attracted to men and women. I'm pursuing that attraction. I'm still a Christian. I will still devote my life to Christ, but now with a sexuality that I will not deny. These views do not reflect those of any ministries or places of worship that I've served in, unfortunately, and I ask you for prayers in this time of confrontation. God bless. My heart goes out to Irvin. He's been deceived because he thinks that just because his perspective and his truth has changed, that God's has for him as well. That's not the way that God leads them into life. He's just leading himself into more bondage. But there's a second guy who really makes a powerful, bold statement this week. Here's his name is Tyler. He said this. So apparently yesterday was National Coming Out of the Closet Day. So I'm calling today National Overcoming Day. Yes, I struggle with my sexuality, but because of the grace, mercy, and the love of Jesus Christ, I overcame the sin and the lies that the enemy tried to place in my path. I now have a wife who constantly changes my life, a son that is a true blessing from the Lord, and a life full of joy and happiness. We do not have to conform to the world, and we can overcome anything in the name of Jesus. He is the answer, and can and wants to deliver those who are bound in sin. Praise God for a testimony that can speak to this world today. We have so many people who struggle, and that's just one example of one thing. We have so many of us who struggle with so many different things, and if we let the truth of Jesus lead us by His way, it leads us into life. Out of the bondage of sin. Jesus says, I am the way, follow me. I am the truth, believe my word, and I am the life. By my way and by my word, you will have abundant life. That is the truth of Jesus. That is the gospel. And so we have, what an example that we have here of a man who's saying, I have been lied to, but I will no longer believe the lies, because by the power of the blood and the name of Jesus, I will overcome. And I will have the life that God has promised to give me. I encourage whatever sin you're struggling with, whatever temptation you're struggling with, Jesus has given you power to overcome. And He wants to give you life. So we surrender and we submit to the truth of God's boundaries so that we may receive God's blessings. That is my desire for us as the church. But here, we're going to close out with this, because as we understand the statement, I am the way, the truth, and life, he also has a kind of an attachment there. It says this, no one comes to the Father except through me. So here's the last thing. No one gets home except through Jesus. No one gets home except through Jesus. You're like, Pastor, hold on. It's 2016. Surely you're not still closed-minded. It's 2016. Surely you've come a long way. We've come a long way as a culture. You're probably caught up by now, church, right? No. Jesus makes a very absolute claim. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one, not a single person, comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. Because here's what you need to understand here. Here's what you need to know. Before sin, Adam and Eve, they had a way. Right? They had the way. They had relationship. They had community with God in the garden. Before sin, they had the truth of God that led them into life. And before sin, they had life that was everlasting. They didn't taste death. But when they sinned, when they chose their way, they chose their truth, and they chose their life, that's when separation happened. All of a sudden, they had no more community with God. They were alienated. They were separated from God. All of a sudden, they had no more truth. They believed the lies of the devil, and they began to believe the truth of him and the lies of him and the truth of their own self that were ultimately lies. And what did it lead to? Death. Death tasted this world for the very first time because of sin. But here's the hope that we have when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. Here's the hope. Here's the promise. He is the answer to all three of those problems. He is the answer to all three of those problems. We're separated from God. Jesus is the way. We have no truth. We have the lies of this world. Jesus is the truth. We are bound for hell. Jesus is the life. So understand, when sin entered the world, it messed everything up. The fall ruined everything, ruined God's design. But Jesus came to redeem and restore what God had set. Jesus is the way. Are you lost? You looking? You longing? Jesus is the way. Do you need a truth? Is it hard to realize what to believe or what to know? Or is everyone going to believe whatever they want to believe and it's all going to work out? Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. Are you bound for heaven? Or do you know that He's going to come back after He prepared that place and that He made a way for you through the cross and He's going to take you home? Do you have that assurance? Jesus is the life. Jesus is life. Augustine says it best. He's a famous theologian. He says this, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Church, if you don't have Jesus, your heart will be restless for all eternity. You'll always wonder what else is out there. You'll always be looking. Your heart will always be wanting. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Is He yours today? Is He yours today? Let's pray and ask God to move in a mighty way during this time. And as we come to this time of invitation, I want to invite those of you who don't know Jesus as their Savior, you would come under the conviction and the move of the power of the Holy Spirit to trust Jesus as your Savior today. He wants to save you, church. Lost sinner, He came to save sinners. There's no one too far from the cross, no one too far from the love and the grace of God. You can come home today. He will save you if you call upon His name, because He is the way to life. If you're far from God, maybe you're saved, but you've lost your way because you started believing a lie instead of the truth. Would you come back home? Come back to the life He promised you. There's blessings in His boundaries. Come home. Get on His path. Get on His word and get in His will. He will lead you to abundant life. Come home, church. Come home. Christian, come home today. Father God, I ask You that You move, Lord and Jesus, in a mighty way in this place. God, Jesus, for Your gospel, for Your power, for Your glory. Lord, that by the power of Your Spirit, You will work in our hearts. Lord, create new in us. Convict us of all sin. Convict us of all things that are not holy and not of You, God. That we may return. Lord, that we may repent. And Lord, we may call out for You, Jesus, in a mighty and powerful way. I pray this all in the name of Jesus, that You would do Your work in Your house for Your people, for Your glory, and for our good. It's in Your name, Jesus, we pray, trust, and believe these things this morning. God's people said,